Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hello and welcome to Daily Pop. I'm Erin Lim, joined by Justin Sylvester and Morgan Stewart, and we are learning a lot more about the top secret Friends reunion, and some fans may not be happy. Listen to what Jennifer Aniston and Lisa Kudrow just admitted on a new episode of Variety Studio Actors on Actors.
If we ever get out of quarantine, get to do our reunion show.
Yes, that will be really great. I can't wait to do that. We don't know everything about it. We need to say, I think we're meant to be surprised by some things.
We know it's not scripted, that we know.
Yeah, no. No, none of it. I will not be Phoebe at any point.
I will not be Rachel, although I kind of am. We're all sort of little fragments of them. Not really.
Justin's face. About them not being their characters? Are they pulling our legs? Because I feel like they're not being real with us.
If I'm going to pay $15.99 for a reunion, I'm going to need them to sit at that coffee shop in character and pretend like they haven't seen each other in 20 years and tell me where the character is right now in her life. Okay? That's what I'm going to need from this Friends reunion.
I mean, I did not think for 1 second that they were not being serious about that. I felt like that's going to be their approach throughout the whole thing. But then to me, that's not really a reunion. That's just us watching them interact like normal people, which is not the point.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to really do it for the fans. And I don't think that'll even be fun for them to play heightened versions of themselves, almost like a 90210 situation. Yeah, I feel like they literally do not have any idea where this is going, and they're just making up lies just to keep us engaged and keep us holding on to the hope that this reunion will actually happen.
I'm sure they're only doing this for the fans, so as a fan, I am letting you know, be in character for me.
Mm-hmm. Agree. I think that the whole point of them coming together after all of these years is to pick up where the show left off. I mean, obviously it doesn't need to follow suit exactly, and I wasn't the biggest Friends watcher. I didn't watch it consistently, but I need Phoebe to be Phoebe. And quite frankly, when Lisa Kudrow just said the 3 sentences that she said, I thought it was Phoebe. So they really aren't that different, but we can just call out, you're playing the people that you got paid $1 million to play for all those years. That's why we're tuning in. I don't need to be a spy at your dinner party.
Exactly. Thank you. So I guess we're just going to have to stay tuned to see how that really plays out.
Oh, we got heated about that. Okay.
Yeah, we did. All right, moving on. Angelina Jolie is sharing a little more about her split from Brad Pitt. In a new interview with Vogue India, she says she separated for the well-being of her family. She also said that some have taken advantage of her silence, but the kids see the lies about themselves in the media and know their own truths. In some ways, it's vague, but do you think that this is somewhat of a dig at Brad?
Yeah, I don't even think that that's really that vague. I mean, I think she said about her family is vague. I think that, that was her way of saying, the kids see all of these mistruths about their parents and about them, and they live the reality, so they know exactly what went on, which I don't think is a dig at anybody. But to say that you left your ex for the well-being of your family basically says your ex was the problem, was causing things to be unstable and unhealthy, which we didn't live their lives. But her saying that is a really, just unnecessary. If things are finally at a place where they've calmed down, we haven't really been speaking about them that often, I feel like they've come to some sort of settlement, if I'm correct, why are you going to drag him and say, you know, it was just, it was unhealthy with all of us together, so I had to leave for the sake of my kids. Like, he's still seeing his kids, too. They share children. It's just not necessary.
No, for sure. I totally see where you're coming from. But I also think sometimes when someone asks you a question that's that personal, no one ever questions if you say you do it for the kids. You know what I mean? Like when he got sober, he didn't say I was out of control or I had a problem. He said it's for the kids and no one questions it. I also think that it's fine to say that because maybe them two together were like oil and water or like gas and kerosene and they just were explosive.
But then say, Brad and I together were no longer a healthy match, and I felt like it was affecting our children, and take some accountability for it and make it about the two of you. Don't blame their father. They're gonna read that. They still have a relationship with him.
Yeah, but when he got on that stage at the Oscars and everybody gave him a standing ovation, he didn't say, everybody clap for Angelina because this was not all her fault as well. He took the admiration, he took the claps. He didn't correct anybody.
Because he got a movie, he got an Oscar for something that he did well, and he took accountability. He literally, in his speech, said, well, you know, I guess it wasn't really that much of a stretch. I played a guy that screwed around with a lot of relationships and messed up. He takes accountability for his side. She's never once publicly said, you know what? It takes two to mess up a relationship, and it's always two people. It is not one person that causes the end of a relationship, regardless of what's in the press. I can speak to that firsthand. She doesn't need to continuously put salt in that wound. He adopted all of her children. Okay, first and foremost, and they have biological children together. So just let's, for the sake of them, just keep it cool with him publicly. You don't need to bring it up anymore.
What if the magazine omitted some things that she said? What if she did give Brad a slight, I did it for the well-being of our kids because we weren't very well together. What if they took that out?
I mean, I think she probably read this article before it was published. So I think that, you know, what she wanted to have said is out there. But what do you guys think she means when she said some people have taken advantage of her silence?
Oh, I mean, think people thought she had retreated, that she felt defeated, that she was licking her wounds. But I honestly think with six kids, bitch, I'm gonna step back, take care of my life and my well-being, and then I'm gonna figure it out and I'm gonna let you know how I feel. But I think whenever she was silent, people thought that she was plotting, that she was planning, and that she was wounded, and she felt like she had lost. And that wasn't the case.
I do think that if you are silent, people do tend to color in the lines and make up their own narratives. So it is a little bit of like you can't win regardless of what you do. But I just think that she is obviously somebody that doesn't speak very often. So when she does speak, if I were her, just to kind of keep my life as peaceful as possible, I would just say we both weren't doing blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we all have heard speculation. Moving forward, it's just better. They've moved on with their lives. We were no longer working. We wish each other the best. We put the hard stuff behind us. Case closed.
All right.
This next story is heartbreaking and alarming. A noose was found in NASCAR driver Bubba Wallace's garage stall at Talladega Speedway. Bubba, who is the only black driver in NASCAR's top series, released a statement calling the situation a despicable act of racism and hatred and says he's incredibly saddened. He added, "This will not break me. I will not give in, nor will I back down." NASCAR announced it's launching an immediate investigation, and so is the FBI. NASCAR is fully supporting their driver, even painting the hashtag #IStandWithBubba on the track's grass. I mean, I was so shocked to see this because NASCAR seemed like they have made such a strong stance to be in solidarity with this Black Lives Matter movement and with everything that's going on in the world. And to now see this is just, it's alarming, it's stunning. I cannot believe seeing that.
Yeah, but you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. And just because NASCAR stands with them and 23 other drivers stand with them doesn't mean everybody's on board. I don't know Bubba Wallace, you know, personally, but I will say that I feel sorry for him that happened. But on the other side of my heart, I am happy that he can now figure out who the person is, because God forbid it's somebody in his pit crew who deals with his tires or with his brakes or with his engine. The fact that that person showed themselves publicly and showed their asses, we can then get them out before real harm happens.
Absolutely. I was so, I mean, like all of us, was so disgusted and so outraged. And like, are you effing kidding? Are you really gonna pull some like that. I mean, excuse my daytime language. Like, it is so beyond unacceptable for that to even happen. And when I originally read the headline, I thought it was his garage at home, which made me even more uncomfortable. I was like, how did they get in? How did that happen? And I'm telling you right now, what this investigation is going to show, they're going to find out who did this. And I hope that that person is charged and put away for the rest of their lives. You don't get to do like that. It's not okay at all.
Yeah.
And what people don't understand when they do things like this, all it does, it makes people want to stand up against racism even more. Look at what all the drivers and what all the pit crews and what all the members of NASCAR did for Bubba Wallace at the beginning of that race. They stood with him. They walked around his car to let people know they were in solidarity with them. And you don't realize, no one's going to stand up and say, yo, bro, that was a great noose move that you did. No one's doing that. They might give you a pat on the ass in your closed door racist, you know, situations. But more people are going to stand up because this is disgusting. And now you're helping out our cause. So thank you, who did that.
Yeah,
absolutely. Okay, we have so much more to say on this. We'll be right back with some more.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to Daily Pop. Before the break, we were discussing the noose discovered in NASCAR driver Bubba Wallace's garage. It's just absolutely heinous and disgusting and just unbelievable that this is still the America we live in.
Mm-hmm. It's true. I mean, just the blatant proof of that happening is like, no matter how many protests, no matter how much forward motion there has been, no matter how many positive things have come out of this movement, there is still that one MF-er who just proves to be so behind the times and such a disgusting piece of blank that it's disheartening for people of all color who just aren't racist. Like, just get with the times. Like, just don't be so gross.
No, and it's crazy because, let me just give you a little bit of backstory as well. NASCAR does not have any fans right now. There is no one allowed in that arena that does not work for a crew, that is not involved in the race at all. It is very, very skeletal when it comes to NASCAR races. So it means that it's somebody that's in the program that felt comfortable going into a player's stall and not only leaving a noose, but hanging it. It was hanging.
Oh, wow.
So this problem it lets you know that it's not a fan, that it's not somebody who's deranged. It's somebody who's close to either Bubba Wallace or any other of those drivers, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
So this is that, this is just beyond. This is beyond.
This person will be caught, as I said earlier. Oh. This is not something that's gonna go unnoticed. And I also don't think that it's just one person. I definitely think that this was a group effort because that's how people like that operate. I can't wait. I just can't wait to put a face to who that is, because that person is, their life's over moving forward.
Done.
Yep. And I'm sure we will find out who that person is, hopefully soon.
Yeah.
All right, you guys, we have to go back to Father's Day. Talk about some stuff that went down on Father's Day. Gwen Stefani thanked Blake Shelton in an Instagram post for helping her raise her three sons, but she made no mention of the boy's dad, Gavin Rossdale. What do you think about this? I mean, it didn't bother me so much just because Blake has been in Gwen's life for a couple years now, has really been there for her family, and I feel like sometimes men who step into that role of being, you know, fathers, stepfathers, it's kind of like a thankless job to an extent. And then on days like Father's Day, you know, maybe you feel like, oh, I don't deserve that credit or that thanks. So I thought it was kind of sweet that she gave him a little shout out. What did you guys feel?
First of all, no one said that you have to like your ex-husband.
Mm-hmm,
like that's, you know, divorce 101. And I think we get so caught up in celebrity divorces and we take for face value when they say, oh, it's amicable, we are friends, we are like trying to just do our best. Like, we take that for face value. And when someone does something like this, we just forget that sometimes relationships can be messy. Maybe I don't like my baby daddy, but you know what? I like my new husband, so I'm just gonna throw him that. And furthermore, Gavin Rossdale didn't throw Gwen Stefani any love on Mother's Day.
Hey.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about that.
It's a true indication of where people are. I mean, look, they didn't take the Gwyneth Paltrow route, let's just put it frankly. She had a photo of her current husband and she had a photo of Chris Martin. It's obviously a co-mingling family. Everybody helps out. Everybody does their part. You know, Gwen and Gavin haven't liked each other for a long time. You know, the man in her life is Blake Shelton. He's been in her life for many a years, and he is the father figure in her home to those boys. Look, I do think it's unfortunate, though, because it's also, Gwen Stefani is the mother of those children, and Gavin Rossdale's not in another serious relationship, so I feel like he could have thrown her. I just think at this point, it's been so many years since they've been separated, it's just kind of unfortunate that there's still clearly so much animosity between the two of them.
Be real, bitch. But be real. If you don't like me, be real. Don't throw up a happy Mother's Day, blah, 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 and we're fighting in the background. Like, I would much prefer my ex-husband be authentic to himself. And if you don't like me, that's cool. I don't like you either. I'm not throwing up a picture for you.
I agree with me, and I don't want to throw up a picture of you.
No, I agree with them being real about it. It's just sad that after this much time and them both moving on successfully, that there's still so much animosity. That's my point.
I mean, or is there just indifference and they just don't care or think about each other? I think it's gotten to that point where she's just like, I don't really care about you, so like, I don't need to even mention you or throw you a bone or whatever.
Thank you.
Maybe. Who knows? We will never know what actually happens behind closed doors. We could just speculate and assume based on the evidence we are given. All right, you guys. Coming up, Jason Sudeikis is here. He's telling us how he's really dealing with dad life during the pandemic, plus why he's calling out one of his kids.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Welcome back, you guys. I recently had fun conversation with Jason Sudeikis. He's telling us about his new show, SNL's big anniversary, and dad life during lockdown. Here's more. Jason, how are you doing?
Not too bad. All things considered, not too bad.
Are you still quarantining right now?
I am indeed. Yeah, I'm coming to you live from our little girl's room. Hence all the, unicorns and stuff. But it's the quietest room in the house. Somehow. I don't know how she lucked out that way.
Oh.
Maybe because she's the loudest person in the family.
Okay. How's it going? Have you managed homeschooling and being, you know, just a multifaceted father well?
No, probably not. I think when I look back at this, I think I made the right choice to not be a person that's paid to educate our youth. Yeah. I made the right choice. Yeah.
Tell me about your new show, Tournament of Laughs.
Yeah, well, basically it's here to, replace the itch that March Madness used to scratch for all of us. And in lieu of, any sports going on or, having the opportunity to go see live theater or live comedy, we're taking it to TBS and we're making sure that folks can, still fill out a bracket, pick some favorites, pick some underdogs, and having 32 different comedians go head to head, competing with homemade videos that they've made, maybe in their daughter's room like this. Then America or whoever, I guess, probably gets to vote, on each one, and then the winner moves on, and just your standard, comedy bracketed tournament.
I have to point out that a charitable donation will be made at the end of the show to United Nations Foundation's COVID-19 Solidarity Response Fund and Black Lives Matter. And Jason, it is SNL's 45th anniversary this year. Do you remember your audition?
Yeah, I remember my first audition, yeah. It went well enough to get me a writing job on the show. It didn't go so well that they put me in the cast. I had auditioned, two or three more times. So I guess I kept getting better and better, but I wouldn't change it for the world the way it all worked out. I got to come in with a great group and learn the or attempt to learn, I should say, the craft of sketch writing from, you know, some of the best in the biz.
Do your kids think you are funny?
I don't know. I think it varies on whether I'm telling them, yeah, go ahead and do that, or knock that off, right? I mean, that's...
Oh, okay. So they're never just, like, putting you on the spot, like, Dad, can you tell a joke for me because I'm trying to, you know, get this laugh off?
No, not at all. Luckily, no. I mean, if anything, like any children, they'll ask for the repetition of something that they enjoyed over and over and over and just beat it to death.
Hopefully it's not Baby Shark anymore.
No, we've moved on from Baby Shark. Yeah, that, no, we, yeah, that was, boy, that was a dark time.
Oh, bless you. Jason, thank you so much. We will be watching Tournament of Laughs Sundays on TBS. We'll see you later, buddy.
All right, take care now.
The CFDA Fashion Awards are known for being one of the biggest nights in fashion. They were planned to take place this month, but had to be postponed, of course. However, we are still going to celebrate with some of our favorite celeb looks from the past. Do you guys remember Kim Kardashian in this cream-colored Rick Owens number in 2018?
Oh, I loved that moment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the year the nipples were out. The nipples were out that year, 2018.
They were
major
free.
Nipple moment.
Mm-hmm.
Beyonce has gone not once, but twice. The first time in 2004, wearing a bright silk dress designed by her mom. And then in 2016, she rocked this pinstripe Givenchy suit as she hit the stage to receive the Fashion Icon Award. Which that has
I love that.
Everything. Morgan, so what's one of your favorite looks from the event?
I mean, I obviously had to go with Rihanna in, like, the see-through, bejeweled Adam Selman dress in 2014 with the headscarf and just the fur throw and the thong. I mean, we haven't seen a look like, forget it being the CFDAs, we haven't seen a look like that be executed that well probably since then. Hands down, top 10 look of all time.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
Justin, do you have a look that's your fave?
Yeah, you know, when I pick my look, I look for my three criterias. I like it for it to be equal parts thotty with glamorous and a lot of drama. So J-Lo in 2019 in this Ralph Lauren moment was my favorite. It was perfect for the evening because she is an icon and that is an iconic moment. And anytime you do two pieces, it can go extremely wrong, but this went extremely right.
All right, for me, I love Jhené Aiko and Pierre Moss. This was her in 2019. I just love pastels and purples and the fabric. And I don't know, I think she's just so fabulous and dreamy. And this is something that I would definitely rock myself. So
you put that?
You don't
it's
like
that? It's very whimsical.
I think you just picked the wrong place to wear it, but I love Jhené Aiko and I love Fairy, but... That's Coachella, boo. That's not CFDA.
What? You know what, Justin? We will agree to disagree on this one. We need to see the close-up photos. People, go online, search it. It was a stunning outfit. Screw you.
Yep.
You guys, there's more fashion fun to be had. Don't miss E's all-new special, the CFDA Awards Ultimate Fashion Moments, hosted by Zanna Roberts-Rossi and Brad Goreski. It airs tonight at 11 on E, so don't miss it. All right, you guys, that's going to do it for us today. Tomorrow, we've got Molly Sims, plus an update on Charlize Theron's love life. Do you think she will ever settle down? We'll discuss.